All right, now I want to say again, I really appreciate the folks coming out, and I always appreciate a good spirit from you, always. And sometimes when I don't feel a good spirit, well, I scold you and I say things to try to get you into a good spirit. And it's hardly ever that you come together in a church service where you find everybody in a good spirit. That's just about an impossibility. But the thing that bothers me, it isn't that, see, because I make allowance for those things. But the thing that bothers me is usually it's the same ones. See, that's what bothers me. That's what irritates me, is that it's usually the same one. If it was a one tonight and then another one tomorrow, well, you allow for things like that because people, you know, they get out of sorts. But when it's always the same one, well, that really disturbs you because you know that's an evil spirit that that person is giving place to and that that person isn't right with God. And a lot of times I scold you over and over to try to get you to get right. Not that it would make that much difference to me because, like I said, I could overlook it and never even bother. I just look at somebody else and don't ever look at you. See, and gone. But the thing is, I know you're going to miss the rapture. How many believe I'm telling you the truth? You're going to miss the rapture. Yes, as sure as I stand here tonight, with all love and respect, I say that to you. You're going to miss the rapture. Now, you say, Brother Pike, why do you say that I would miss the rapture when I'm trying to live right? Because the Bible doesn't say he that tries to live right will make the rapture. Now, does it? Isn't that right? It says, many shall try. He said, strive to enter in, for many shall try and not be able. Once the Lord has risen up and shut to the door, nobody can get in. And the Bible said he's coming back after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. Now, that really narrows it down, don't it, Brother Gerald? See, now everybody feels like they don't have a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Well, you're ready for the rapture, if that's really true. Or you say, well, I know I got spots and blemishes. Well, you better get straight now, because ain't nobody going to spots and blemishes. Now, how many believe that's Bible? See, that's why I say what I do to you, and a lot of times I feel your spirit, you know, in a repulsive sort of a way, and I know that you resent it. But even when you do that, that makes me know even the more so that I'm right and you're wrong, and that you're not going to make the rapture. Now, so I can't make you make the rapture. Now, I'm not going to try to make you make the rapture, but I'm going to do what I can to tell you the truth and hope that you'll get in there and try to make the rapture. And I tell you again, the Bible said strive. Strive. If me and John was fighting out here, we'd be striving with each other. The Bible teaches to strive that you might enter in. That is, make a special effort. That you might enter in, for many shall try. Everyone that's trying, I want to see your hand. That's good. He said, many shall try. There must be hundreds and thousands tonight of Baptists and Methodists, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Church of God, Assemblies of God, Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these are trying. But he said, be just a few that'll find it. Just a few that'll find it. Now, a lot of times when I say that, I can feel spirits, you know, really feel spirits. But the Bible said they gnashed on Stephen's. They gnashed on Stephen's with their teeth. They got upset because he told them that they wasn't going. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he still told them the truth. Now, I'm glad to see you here tonight. And as we tell these things, well, whether you're just and whether you're unjust, the rain comes on the just and on the unjust. The waters come down, and everybody has an opportunity to receive it. But remember, the water is going to bring forth a harvest. Now, it's according to your nature as to what your harvest will be. If you are a briar, then you're going to bring forth a briar harvest. If you are wheat, then you're going to bring forth a wheat harvest. Because the rain is going to bring forth the harvest. The latter rain is going to bring forth the harvest. And whatever your nature is, well, that's what it's going to make you. That's what it's going to make you. So I ask you tonight to be partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ by submitting yourself to the ministry, not in your head. Now, we have this a lot where people submit themselves in their head. That is, they make themselves against their will. They make themselves. I can tell that just as much as I can tell the difference between a red bub and a white bub. Discernment to that, to me, is that plain. And I feel you come into the tent and you make yourself in your head submit. But there's no need to do that. I appreciate you doing that because that helps me some. But there's no need to do that because you're still lost. You're still lost. But now, if you'll get right with God in your heart, you won't have to make yourself do that up here. In your heart, you'll come in and you'll love me when you first look at me. That's right. I can talk and holler and scream at you when I get through. It won't bother you, but you love me just as much. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know. I've been out here and I've heard Brother Taylor preach and I've heard Brother Bob and I've heard Brother Jim and I've heard every one of them. And then I heard some visiting some and some of the visiting ones tried to cut me all to pieces. Maybe you didn't have enough discernment to know it. Maybe you did. But I never did feel bad at them. Loved them just as much. Watched them through the whole thing. You know why? Because I got something down here. I don't have to make myself do it. I just love them. The Bible said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that persecute you. It's easy when you got God. But it's impossible when you haven't got God. Now, the teachings tonight, I like to try to go right ahead and get into them. Now then, let's start again tonight and just take a quick review of this right here. Because we've already taught this, and as I said the other night, there's a lot of fill-ins that I'm not going to try to fill in because many of you perhaps know that better than I do. But what I would like to do, I really need another board is what I need. Have we got another sign on that board, Taylor, that hadn't got anything on it? Okay, let's turn it around. Now, we're going to turn the blackboard around here. And to try to preserve this other for just a little bit longer, because we might have to switch it around for review. Every one of you that's come every night, I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I thank God. I don't see Grady tonight. He's probably here. I just hadn't seen him. But I kind of had a feeling he wasn't going to come tonight for some reason. But I hope he does. I see Mike here. Mike got over. I don't know why I had a feeling he wasn't, but I felt like Satan was going to try to keep him from coming tonight. And, of course, he did. Well, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful. Really, I really believe with all my heart Grady should have been here by all means tonight. I really do. We're just now coming to the place to where... It would have been good for everyone to have gotten it if the Lord allows us to go on with it. The other was kind of a preliminary sort of a thing that we need, basically speaking, to get up to this point. Now, I'd like to say this again. I've tried to highlight this on the tapes and on the messages so that everybody would understand it. And that is, you don't have to get this to make the rapture. I'm not telling you that you do. I'm not telling you that you don't, but I'm not telling you that you do. I'm just trying to tell you that whatever God requires of you, that's what you'll have to have. I don't know. He knows. But I do say this, that I want to grow up into the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus as much as I can. Now, I know I feel a spirit tonight that don't have any interest in what we're doing whatsoever. But that's all right. That's your life. I'm not trying to run it. That's your business. What you do is your business. I'm not going to do like the world says I could care less because I do care for your soul. But that's your business. Every man, the things of Jesus Christ is too wonderful, too rich, and too glorious to force on anybody. And I just love to take all you don't want. Everybody that don't want it, you give it to me. And all of these beggarly elements of the world, I'll just give you every bit I got. You can have every bit of it. Just give me your crown if you don't want it. Now, I praise God like a brother I was talking to today. He come over. He may preach a little for us. Like I was telling him today, I believe that God wants us to prosper. I believe that we're going to prosper. I believe our people are going to prosper far more than they've already prospered. The Bible said, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. It don't matter what he does, it's going to prosper. And I know that God is going to bless us and we're going to prosper. Those things are just automatically added. They just automatically come. As I told the brother today, God wants us to prosper. Whatever the Word of God says, well, that's what He wants. And the Bible said, I would above all things that ye prosper and be in health even as your soul prospered. So your prosperity to God is based on your soul prosperity. And the more we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the more that we're filled, and the more that we're filled, the greater we'll become in God. So, I praise God. My cup runs over. And I love the Lord for His goodness. I praise God for His goodness. Now, I was just thinking today, Sister Pat got $20,000 in. That it would take a lifetime. A man would have to make a good salary, and it would take a lifetime then to save $20,000 above what he would pay out for his business and his living expense. But did you know that right here in just a few months we run $35,000 to the bank? And not only that, but one building out there that will soon be finished and paid for will be worth $100,000 or more. Outside of all the other assets. Now, I said that to say this. If $20,000 is that much money, and it is an awful lot of money, then how much more should you, brethren, be thankful to God and try to watch after what you've got and use it for the glory of God? How much more? You say, well, Brother Pike, it isn't that. Well, you better check up and see, because it is that. So then, considering what God is trying to do for us, we ought to be very diligent and work for the Lord Jesus, because it belongs to you and to your children for the work of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'd like to try to have another drawing tonight, if I could, if Brother Taylor don't mind drawing it for me. I need another drawing. I need you to draw over on this side of the board, Brother Taylor, the United States, just the United States. Yeah, I'd like for you to divide it off with the Mississippi River and with the Rockies. Would that be all right? All right. Now, we're going to take a little different approach tonight toward Revelation. That we might do this for this reason, that if you can get a real allegoric thought pattern concerning these things, well, it just won't be a bit of trouble for you to understand it. And Brother Taylor is going to illustrate this for us. Frankie might put us a tree over there, kind of like the one you had before. Put us a Gateway of the West, and then put us a tree. We've got that drawn somewhere. I don't know where it's at. But we'll redraw it here, and then you put your Gateway of the West out there somewhere. All right, now, can everybody see and hear pretty good? We'll try to do a little illustrating if we can. All right, now then, notice over here, we've got a drawing of the United States. Well, everything that God does, He does in a 1, 2, 3. So then when you take the United States and break it down, you can break it down with the holies of holies, the inner courts and the outer courts. Now, let's revert back to this just to pick up our thought, because you're familiar with it. Remember Washington, we set up as the holies of holies, and then we set up the United States as the inner courts, and we set up the United Nations as the outer courts. Now, really, this holies of holies here, as I said the other night, points to the millennium right here. That's right, it points to the millennium if we want to run it on over. And we can run it on over to the great white throne of the judgment or the new earth that's coming in. Still run it down to 1, 2, 3 if you want to pick up in the United States and take from the United States and take the world as a whole, and then take the millennium, and then after you take the millennium, then take the new earth. And you got a 1, 2, 3. You got 3 earths that's involved there. If you want to back up the other way, you'll have to teach it from the flood, which is one earth before the flood, another earth after the flood, and then the next earth is the millennium, and then the next earth is the new earth. Now, it's the same earth, but the thing is, it is called different worlds. Peter calls it the old world. Every time a system passes away, it's referred to as a world, and then a new world comes in. So then, if you want to notice this tonight now, the reason I draw these little diagrams is because it's kind of hard for you to comprehend the map in your mind. Now, I can kind of comprehend the map in my mind because I've looked at it for many years, and I pretty well know it from one end to another. We've traveled it, Betty and I have traveled it so much, and we've got it pretty well in our mind. But anyway, now, we've got New York up here. Now, think of it like this. Get it in your mind like this. We're here in Georgia, and we start over to New York. We'll go back in this direction. Let's put it in your mind like that now. All right, now we'll go back to New York. The reason I'm using New York is because New York is considered one of the New England states. It's called one of the New England states. And it runs a type up in there. You get up in there, and this is a type of heaven when you get back up in there. Now, here in New York is where everything starts. The Bible said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many shall enter thereat. Is that Bible? All right, we find a place called Broadway in New York. Isn't that right? Where all the stars are. This is where they start into their corruption and all their shows and everything that's disgraceful. Broadway is the almost like a bottomless pit. Broadway starts it all off. And from Broadway, they go out to California, which is the stardom of that thing. Right, so then here in New York, we find another thing. We find the Empire State Building, which is considered the highest building in the world, which also is a symbol of Christ and Antichrist. Because if one types one, it usually types the other. The tallest buildings, for buildings is a symbol of people, mountains are a symbol of people, and bodies of waters are a symbol of people. And here we see this New York. Now, I wouldn't care if Brother Taylor drawed me a little, we say the ocean here, like a reservoir, with some tributaries running off and streaming around and coming back to the very same thing. You might better put it over there, Brother Taylor. All right, now then, you see here in New York. We start here in New York. From all the way, we'll say, from the Canadian line, which is above New York, up around New Hampshire, and back up in there, Connecticut. From here, from the Canadian line, we'll start here. Really should start right below the New England states because the New England states have to do with Canada. But we'll start here because we call this the United States, and it won't be confusing to you. We'll start here at the Canadian line, and from the Canadian line to Mississippi. All right, now, from the Canadian line to Mississippi. Let's look on this as one separate individual place here, all to itself. And then from the Mississippi River over to the Great Rocky Mountains, let's look on this area altogether as a separate thing. And then from the Rockies over to California, over to the Pacific Ocean, we'll look on this as a different thing. And most of you know the Pacific Ocean, it comes in history, you find that Balboa, when he came on a certain place and saw this great body of water, saw it so peaceful, this is where it gets its name, the Pacific. Comes from the word peaceful. Now, we got a 1, 2, 3 here in this. A 1, 2, 3, that is a separation of 3 major bodies in this. And what I'd like for you to do is to get a continuity of thought here. Now, we use this over here coming all the way from the eastern part of the world to the western United States. Remember that? We started in the east with the Jews and come all the way over to the western part of the great United States. Now, when it come to the United States, that was the end of a 1-2-3, like if we say Palestine and Rome and then the United States, or Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. That would be the end of it. Now, but when it got to the United States, it had to go all the way over to California before the end of it was finished in the third part. Now, so then it's just the finishing. When you go to California, that just finishes you 1-2-3. Now, but the thing is, in each one of these parts, I told you the other night, you could break it down into threes. Well, this is the Protestant age, or the United States, and we're going to break it down into threes, because this is the spiritual part of it, and we are acquainted with this place over here, and this is where things are taking place in our day. Now, if we break the first part down, which is Jerusalem, then that's the things that took place in the days of the Jew. Is that right? Then we break the second part down, which is the Catholic of the Dark Age. That's the things that took place back there for the Catholic Church. Now, but if we break the third part down, then that's the thing that takes place for the Protestant people. Now, I remember the Protestants and Catholics were one and the same, and it'll show up after a while. But the thing is, we do have a type of the angelic body here in the Protestant age. So that's why I say we break down this third, which is the angelic age, to get the revelation of what's happening today according to what we can understand in our feeble way. All right, now we got 1, 2, 3. We got three great separations here. And remember when the pilgrims landed over at Plymouth Rock. It'll be back up in here. And then they set up the little colony of about, well, we say, finally got 13 states together. And a lot of times we say 13 means the bride. It really means the woman, but we just kind of refer to it as the bride. Now, but the 13, of course, shows the woman nation, as we always say. Most people say the number 13 means bad luck, because they call it a woman. But anyway, it starts in Jamestown, Virginia, and then from there it works its way out to California. Now, there's a lot that can be said about this. First of all, God let everything get set up around here in the eastern part of the United States. And then after it got set up real good, then he created a gold rush out here in California to cause them to come all the way from here over to here. Now, some of you are familiar with what I'm about to say, and I won't go into it thoroughly because it would take too much time. But the pilgrimage of the pilgrims from here over to here, there's a great thing that took place. And Brother Taylor, don't mind, he just kind of put me a crooked trail across here, and just one long crooked trail across there over to California. And we'll try to illustrate something here if we can. All right, now, notice that this line that Brother Taylor is drawing all the way from the east over to the west, we're just going to call this the Trail of the Pilgrims. Because remember now, we're taking the pilgrimage of civilization, which is life in the veil. And when you take life in the veil, well, that's only a symbol, because everything is within the veil of the flesh. It has to run its course. Then when it gets over here, then it comes out of the veil, and then it starts its pilgrimage all the way back over to the eastern world of the Jews. So it goes back out of the veil. It comes over in the veil. It goes back out of the veil. So you see here, it's coming all the way over. Now, I know that we love to think of the Gentile people as being the true Americans, and we love to kind of compliment ourselves, you know, and talk about what we are and what we can do and but really, we're intruders. Did you know that? The Gentile people are intruders who invaded the country of the Indians and brutally took it away from them, massacred and ravished the Indian people. That's right. Mistreated the wives and also killed out the leaders. And any time the leaders would rise up and get the braves together, well, the Americans just call them renegades. But really, the renegades was the Americans. Whether you believe it or not, that is the Americans. Now, just like we've got this little piece of land out here that we're using for God. We're the true settlers. It belongs to us. Now, if somebody brutally comes in here and takes it away from us, then who's the renegades if we fight back? All they were doing was trying to protect their country and their people. Some of them, the great leaders that got bad names in history, were some of the bravest and most glorious men that ever lived on the face of the earth. Bitter, yes, they were bitter because that the American people come in and ravished their homes and took what they had. I've read a little about Jesse James. And Jesse James, of course, he turned out to be a killer and a robber. But the thing is, I understand he was a fine man until the railroad company come in there and took his mother's land and run the railroad across it, and it made him bitter, and after that he didn't care. So he began to rob trains, and from that he began to help the poor widows and different things, and of course God suffered him to go on for a long time until he just got real bad. And then when he got ruthless and got bad and got hungry for money and blood, well, God took him out of the way. But until that time, God suffered him to be protected. Now then, what I want to point out is, to show you in Revelation that the American people are renegades, I can prove it to you in an illustration. Some of you have already seen it. Some of you already know it. Some of you don't. But now then, I got a crooked trail across here. Now you say, why have you got a crooked trail? Alright? First of all, how many of you remember that this was the old wagon trains that went across here? I've looked over in the Rockies, 200 miles of the Rockies, one little stream running through it, and then after you get out of the Rockies, there's a great desert between there and California. Have they ever done it? It had to be the great miraculous hand of God. It would have been utterly impossible for them to have ever done it. I'd like for you to notice that in this pilgrimage, as the wagon trains come along. Now, Brother Taylor, give me a number of wagon trains right here. Brother Taylor's pretty good at drawing, so while I get me just a little swallow of water, I'm going to let him draw me a wagon train or two here so I can illustrate this in a better way. Now, if you first notice that he's got a crooked trail, yeah, that's the first thing. This pilgrimage that the Gentile people took was certainly a crooked trail going across there. It was in and out and up and down, and even the little mountain roads that we've had in the past years, back when Betty and I started evangelizing, it was a crooked trail, very crooked trail. And a lot of times we'd go around the mountain where the road was peeling off, and it was real dangerous. And the Gentile people are just now getting their way straightened out some before God. That's why we've got the big supers that denote the straightness, which is, of course, the church world. Now then, if you'll notice in this pilgrimage, speaking in the spiritual dimension or in this third dimension here, this will revelate or show to you that the American people was absolutely intruders. Now, hallelujah. You love the Lord? Everybody's pay attention. Turn off your gift of suspicion now. We'll just go right on. Alright, now, look at this. Look at this wagon train. First of all, what I'd like for you to notice is that this wagon train, if you considered it, it's in a roll like this. You notice that? It's in a roll. It's in a roll, and it's got little joints all in it. It's in a roll. And one of them's right behind another. One of them's right behind another. And as they go along, it's just a trail of dust as they go through the desert. Is that right? It's a trail of dust. And you say, why would that be, Brother Pike? Because it is a symbol of the serpent. It's a long trail. When they go across the desert, they go on a long trail, just like a snake. And you can see them winding back and forth, just like this, as they travel across the trail. And the serpent crawls on his belly, and he feeds on the dust. It's just a cloud of dust as they go along there. Now, they usually have two scouts up front here, usually a couple of men sitting on the wagon train. And you know how a snake's tongue is? It goes and comes. It goes and comes. And these two scouts up front, they go and come. They go and come. The whole time the train's moving, they go and come. Because they watch for the Indians, or they did in that day. Now, I've been up on the hill out in Colorado where Buffalo Bill sat on the tree there, and he watched the wagon trains as they come down to Denver. He was in the Calvary, and a great leader in the Calvary. And he would watch him, and for many miles from this point, I've seen it myself. For many miles, you can see from what he called Lookout Mountain. You can see a wagon train for many miles across the prairie. And if there had been an Indian group that would have attacked the Indian train, well, Buffalo Bill could have got there with the cavalry in time to have protected them, having seen this so far off. And by the time he spotted the Indians over here coming down to the wagon trail from the Lookout Mountain with his cavalry, he could get there just about the time that they got there, or maybe sooner. Now, so then he watched him coming into Denver. Now then, this thing leaves a crooked trail. It leaves a crooked trail. Now, I want you to notice now and see that this really is a type of the serpent. Now, the Indians would come down on this thing right here, on the wagon train. When they come across the desert, right out of the mountains, the Indians would come down. Now, an Indian is a type of an eagle. If you go up into the Carolinas, you'll find they'll put feathers on their arms, and they'll put feathers on their head, and they'll put feathers on their feet, and then they dance like an eagle. That's where they dress up like an eagle. And the little moccasins that you buy with the beads on it that you can't hardly tell heads nor tails as to what it is, study it out, you'll find it's an eagle. These people are a symbol of the eagle, for the eagle makes its nest among the rocks. And the eagle will take a snake. I've seen them do it on film. They'll pick up a snake, and they'll take the snake, and they'll bump his head against the rock until they kill him. That's the way they kill him. Now then, these eagle-like, these Indians, would come sweeping down out of the Rockies, or out of the mountains, down on this serpent thing that was coming across here. Now then, the first thing that happens when you run at a snake and hit a snake, he curls up. He goes into a curl, and then he strikes. Well, just time the Indians would hit him, they curl up. That's the first thing the wagon train does. He goes into a curl, like this. And then the little pellets that they spit back, that is a type, of course, of the bite of the snake. When they start shooting back, they start firing back at the Indians. But if you notice the thing the Indian uses, now we liken God unto the pyramid, or we call him the capstone. But the thing that the Indian uses is a little stone right on the end of the arrow. That's right. The man-child was to rule with a rod. He'll take a rod, and right on the end of that rod, he'll put a little stone, a little arrow, a little pyramid-type stone. Then he'll strike at the head of these people. And you know, the one thing that Indians want to do is scalp them when they get through. They strike at the head. So then they'll come down like a bunch of eagles sweeping out of the Rockies. They'll come down here. The Bible speaks of Christ coming in a cloud of glory, and they also come in a cloud of dust coming from up here and coming from the clouds, because a lot of times the clouds themselves lay right in around the mountains. So they come right out of the clouds sometimes, right down on the serpent in its symbol. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, another thing that you'll notice about the Lord Jesus, in the days of Noah, God saved Noah with a bow. Is that right? And then in the book of Revelation, when it speaks of the white horse rider, he comes forth with a bow. Isn't that right? All right, now then, the thing that the Indian uses is the bow. It's a symbol of the covenant. And he comes down painted up with all of his colors like the rainbow. His eyes and his legs and his arms, and he comes down with his bow in his hand. He comes down with his rod. And another thing is, in the end of his rod, he's got a feather, an eagle feather, that symbolizes the colors of the rainbow. Now, the old chief back up here that is waiting for them to come back, he will have, usually as a rule, he'll have line of feathers that'll start here and go all the way down his back, which symbolizes the covenant of the rainbow that goes all the way down. And these Indians, before they go, they're like Pentecostal people. Pentecostal people are a type of them. To them, God is a consuming fire. And they build a big fire like this. And those Indians dance around the fire like that to get their courage up. Just like Pentecostal people before they strike at the devil, you know. God's got to come down with them tongues of fire, and they shout and holler and scream, and then the devil by not getting the way. Well, the Indians do the same thing. They dance. They dance like that. And even the little places that they called their home, which was a teepee, was also a symbol of the pyramid. Always, it was always the very type. Always the very type. Now, there's many other things that we could say about the Indians to highlight it, to prove to you that this is not some wild guess, but it's the mind of the Lord. It shows these things. But there's many things that you yourself can fill in, if you'll just take it out in the Indian's life, things that I haven't mentioned. Some things I still know that I won't mention, and some maybe you'll come up with that I never had revealed to me. But at any rate, you see, this is a type of the serpent, and it's a type of God striking at the serpent. So you see that Gentile people are really invaders. Now, they're invaders with their brutality. They do these things. All right, now, if you notice now, as we come across this, this is still the natural pilgrimage. Now, when it gets over here to California is when it begins to reverse and starts becoming the church. Are you listening? Now, in the natural pilgrimage, it comes from Egypt, because civilization starts in Egypt. But in the pilgrimage of the Spirit, California is Egypt. California is Egypt in this third dimension. Alright, now, what really happened was that the pilgrimage continued out here. Alright, now, after that it continued out there, notice that God began to restore. By the time they got out here, what was it? Somebody tell me. In the gay 90s or whatever they called it, about the time of the gold rush, I didn't know. I think I don't take somewhere. But anyway, when they got out here, well, America was pretty well set up. It was going along pretty good about that time. And then there was something that was ready to break out. At about, well, 1492, as the poet said, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Come over here. Discovered America, and in about 1500 or a little later than Martin Luther, he began to start the Reformation. And then on into about the 1800s, well, something began to be set up in the way of a government. And then the time the guy here in California, well, everything was going along pretty good. They had a society. Now, but God let that go on until it was thoroughly finished. Then, about that time, God started a spiritual move. Now, back in 1900 over here at the Gateway of the West, back in the 1900s, at the Gateway of the West in Missouri, which is along in here, a great move began to spring up. And then that move went out here to California to Azusa Street. And here in 1901 or something like that on Azusa Street, then the great spiritual move of God began to spring up. Now, it began to spring up. And about 50 years ago, here at Hot Springs, the great organization that's called the Assemblies of God, one of the greatest Pentecostal organizations in the world, formated here at Hot Springs. God was moving in them. They began to formate and begin to set up a denominationalism. I understand that there was a division about the time this great outpouring come between a group of people. One group took the outlook of the Catholic doctrine and set up and began to teach baptism by using the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the other group took the outlook of the Acts of the Apostles and began to teach baptism in Jesus' name. One group was called the Assemblies of God, and the others was called the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so you see, these are the two biggest organizations in the world. The Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Jesus name people, and the Assemblies of God are the Trinitarian people. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, which one of them are right? You say it was a real genuine outpouring that came in the 1900s. Now you say, well, which one of these are right? Neither one of them are right. Both of them are wrong. Now, both of them have some truths from God, and both of them have done a great work. Now, you say, how could they have done a great work if they was wrong? Because they were wrong in part. The Bible said Israel was blinded in part, and the Bible said we know in part till the fullness comes. As long as a person doesn't know anything except part, well, God doesn't require anything but part. But then when they get more than that, well, God requires more than that. The Bible said to them that know to do good and do it not, to them it is a sin. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So if a person does wrong when they know to do good, well, it's a sin to them. But the Bible said that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with more stripes. But the servant that did not know to do his Lord's will and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So then you see how important it is for these people to really go on with God, because in the evening time it shall come to pass there shall be light. Now there's great light in the evening time, things that people have never known before. The finishing of the mysteries of God, and God, he requires more. A lot of times folks say, well, Pat, why is it that we're having so much sickness and sorrows and wars and tornadoes and heartaches in the day that we're living in? Look like we're just oppressed to death. It's because we've got more light, children of God. And the more light that comes, that sin is stronger. God said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound, which means God will give much more grace. But at the same time, if we disobey, when we know better, then we've got to pay for it, for willful sin must be punished. That's why the world is in the condition that it's in. And I tell you, this much is going to get worse than what it is. Because the light's going to get greater, that means it's going to get a lot worse. Whether you think so or not, it really is. All right, now, are you following me? So then, here at Azusa Street, this great thing happened, but it sprang up in the 1900s around Missouri, the Gateway of the West. And we want to bring you back to this one night, maybe not tonight, but one night, and if we get to it, maybe tonight. But I'd like for you to notice here in California. Now, God has used this. When this great revival broke out, it just kind of set down here in the West. How do you believe that? Now you say, you know, you don't think they had any revival in the South. Yes, they did. They had a revival. But the thing is, it headquartered in the West. Now you look at it and see if that's true. The great revival broke out in the West. And it stayed there for a long time. And then after it broke out in the West, then it came over here into Hot Springs, Arkansas, about 50 years ago. Now you take 50 years from where we're living at now back to 1900 and see, you still got quite a bit left. Is that right? We're in the 70s now. We got 30-some years left. That thing played around in the West and finally come over here and begin to headquarter between the Rockies and between the Mississippi. And the last move of it was the headquarter over here between the Mississippi and between the Atlantic Ocean, coming back to where it started. Now, when it finishes here, that's the part that we're in right now. When it finishes over here, then it will go back to the Jews. That'll be it. All right, now then, we see it here that it had its time in the West. And notice now when it come over here in between the Rockies and so forth, what happened? Well, they got Texas. It set up in Texas with the Voice of Healing. It set up in Oklahoma with Oral Roberts. It set up with Billy James Hargis in Oklahoma. Set up with T.L. Osmond in Oklahoma. And many of the others that we could go on with. Brother David Terrell eventually set his up over in around Texas, around the Voice of Healing. W.V. Grant and Morris Cirilla out in California. And all these out in the West. And when Brother Branham was killed, the light finally went down right there in the West. When Kennedy was killed, it went down right there in the West. Everything followed its symbol. Is that right? And even when Martin Luther King was killed, he was right there at the Mississippi River, right there at the crossing. Now, I said that to be able to say this, that these things happen as symbols, and as Paul referred back to the Jews and examples unto us. These things happen out in the West. Notice that Brother Terrell's headquarters got started somewhere over here in the East and then went to the West. And I made the statement that he was kind of a bridge over, but he was still numbered with the Western move. Now, these men done great things. Brother Roberts done tremendous things. Taylor Osborne done tremendous things. And all these other great men done tremendous things. Now why? Because God was with them. God was with them, and they lived a holy, righteous, overcoming life. Billy Graham even did. He lived a good life. All of them did great things as long as the Spirit of God was with them. And they lived an overcoming life as long as God was with them. But then after God withdrew from them, there was no more righteousness as far as living an overcoming life. Some of them become hippies and let their hair grow out. Some of them has went to the Methodist church, and what didn't join the Methodist and the Baptist church turned Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterian and Catholic and all these other things. Anyway, they might as well have joined the church. So it's just one thing, a conglomeration of a mess or a confederation of denominations, which is really unrighteousness. All right, now, these things took place. And you say, well, Brother Pike, what need do I have of knowing these things? My friend, this is the need you have for it. You are fixing to die and go to hell. You're on the verge of going to hell. The end of the world is here. Well, you say, I got plenty of time to do this and I got plenty of time to do that. I know all that's in your mind, but that's not Bible. This is the end of the world, and these things can help you find out just how close it really is. And then if you're a fool, and the Bible teaches some people are fools, if you're a fool, you'll just go right on. The Bible said, warn a fool, he'll go right on. But warn a wise man, and he'll turn around. Instruct a wise man, and he'll be wiser. Warn a fool, and he'll just go right on. Rebuke a fool, you get yourself a block. They'll talk about you, criticize you, find fault. But a wise man will increase in learning. And I trust that we're talking to wise men. Paul said, we speak unto you as unto wise men and wise women. All right, now, so we see then, this thing had to revert back coming out of the veil. Coming out of the veil. Now then, we've got tapes here speaking of the veil. And if Brother Taylor will, along right in here, he can give us a little desert journey from Mesopotamia over to where Abraham lived, or right along in there. And then at the same time, you can draw right up here, Brother Taylor, the little TP tent over in Upson County. Put Upson up above it so we can tie a few things together here. Now, how many of you understand what we're trying to say here? All right, now, it got all the way over to here, and then when it got here to California, well, then it starts reverting back. It starts reverting back, and it starts its pilgrimage back. You remember now, folks, when it gets back over here, then that when that move of God starts and finishes in here, that, my brother, is the end of the Gentile people. You say, how close are we to the end, Brother Pike? We're this close, according to what I understand. It's already had its day over here from the Rockies to the Pacific Ocean. It's already had its day from the Mississippi over to the Rockies. And now it's come in from the Mississippi over to the Atlantic over here to have its last move. And it's already started its last move over here. Now, according to what I understand, this doesn't last but just a few years. And then when it ends, God will go back to the Jews. The church will immediately be raptured. Antichrist will start and take over the world, and you people, all the people of the United States and the world that's hearing these messages that would not accept God, would not line up with God, you will go through the tribulation. You'll lose your soul because you would not listen. Now, I know that you got a lot of knowledge from the tree of knowledge, and you got a lot of education that ain't worth a dime to you when the tribulation comes in. Only the knowledge of God and the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that we're not children of the natural education, which is of darkness, but we're children of the mind of Jesus Christ, which is light. We know when the day will come upon us. The Bible said, be not drunken. That is, be drunken in the night, which means drunken off of the cares of life, which is the desires of the flesh and the things of this life. People are totally, absolutely drunk off of the things of life and the desires of life. They're drunk, and they're drunk in their carnal mind, which is the night. But the Bible said, you're not children of darkness, but children of light. But ye shall know when that day is nigh, even at the door, when you see these things come to pass. Amen. That's right. Look up, he said, then your redemption is nigh. All right, now then, brother, I want you to know it's time to look up. You say, how do you know it's time to look up? Because everything in the natural shows the spiritual. Are people looking up? The moon, the stars, the galaxy, the rockets. Is that right? Even the flags on the moon to draw their attention up. Look up, he said. And he causes the natural people to be heading high-minded to look up. People want to fly in airplanes. They don't want to ride anymore. They want to fly. See, because it shows that it's nigh even at the door. The tides have to do it. Not only that, but to show you that it's time for the rapture of the church, people are, by the masses, taking trips to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem by airplane, which is a symbol of rapture. They're taking trips to the seas and taking... But he said, when I take my vacation, I'll take my vacation in heaven, and won't you take your vacation with me? That's the only way poor folks ever get a vacation. Now, but what I'm trying to say is all of these plane trips that we see the people taking, the churches especially in the hours that we're living in the big jetliners going over to the Holy Land, it's a symbol of the rapture of the church. It shows that the rapture of the church is at hand. Not only that, but now just today, Betty and I were discussing it. I noticed in Brother Junior, Brother Raymond Jackson's paper, Junior Jackson they call him, in his paper, he was telling about the archaeologist that has uncovered Old Jerusalem. How many of you remember us going to see that about the life of Christ? Brother Taylor wrote that about the life of Christ, the door that was discovered. Over here where Jack Bailey is painting that big, huge painting of the life of Christ, and we went over there and saw the picture where they took the picture of the door, of Old Jerusalem, where they'd uncovered it. And the archaeologists, according to the papers, are uncovering it so fast that before they could get their report out and publish of what they discovered, they'd made two great discoveries even after that, before the publication even come out. It was ready to change. And the archaeologists had discovered a great plaster and a great dome and a stairway leading up to it. And they say this is Jerusalem just as it was in the days of Christ. Well, you say, Brother Pack, what does that mean to me? Well, the Bible said that the land would blossom as a rose. God is sending great power, great rains, a lot of rain on their land. They got their former land, rain in their land and the harvest, and it was driven out. Now they're returning the natural there to get their land of rain. And they're to get great fruits in the natural. And not only that, but asphalt mines and all kind of things has been discovered. In the Dead Sea, more wealth is in the Dead Sea than the rest of the world, just in the Dead Sea alone. They've discovered that. Now, so then, see, it is becoming a great garden, a great place of restoration. Now, he said, but what's that got to do with us? It's a symbol of the church and a symbol of the spiritual Jew. The church has just been a sideline, Brother Taylor. It's been kicked around. It's been nothing like Jerusalem. Wouldn't bear. You couldn't get nothing out of the church. But now the reign of God is beginning to come upon the church, and the mind of God is beginning to produce an educational harvest that is 10 times what the seminaries can give you out there. It's beginning to produce the mind of Christ and eternal life and hope and happiness and prosperity. They're uncovering the reason for that is because the spiritual archaeologists are uncovering the real mind of Christ and the real God. Church or Jerusalem as it was in the days of the apostolic church. Amen. They say it's Jerusalem just as it was in the days of Jesus. That's the way the church is coming back, my brother. Just as it was in the days of Jesus. So we see these things are very important that we know them. Now then, I believe with all my heart that something great is happening and the world doesn't see it. I'm going to stop right there. The Lord being willing, we'll try to take up tomorrow night and talk a little more. May the Lord bless you. I love you and appreciate you coming out like you do. And I hope I don't bore you with these things, because I'm trying to tell you something that will help you see that the end of the world is here. Well, you say, Brother Pack, everybody knows the end of the world is here. No, they don't. No, they don't. They certainly don't know it. But we know that it's nigh even at the door, so we can be ready that it won't come upon us unaware. Now, that's why he lets us know, so we can be prepared. The rest of them figure, well, I've still got a little time left, and I'm going to sip off of the world. But I don't care anything about sipping with the world anymore. Let's everybody stand together. Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus as Brother Lonnie strums on the guitar. I hope that you are getting a thought pattern of, as Brother Branham so frequently used the word, with a continuity. And the word continuity comes from continuation, from continued. That is that you're getting a continued thought pattern from start to finish. I hope you're getting this in your understanding, that it might be beneficial to you. Now, the ones that are not interested in it, well, I love you just as much, but I can't help you. There's those that are ordained for heaven, that's predestinated for heaven, and they've been given the love for heaven and the riches of that world, and they will go. And there's those that are not, there's those that are brute beasts that love this present world and the things of it, having loved this present world, one for St. Paul. And there are some that love this present world, the things of this world, like as unto Esau. They look glittery, they look good, they look desirous, and people hunger and thirst after them. And those people are made for this world. They don't have any life after, so you might as well let them enjoy sin for a season while they're here, because they're made to be taken and burned, the Bible said. They're made for the judgment, a judgment of God, and they're made to be taken and burned. These are called brute beasts that won't obey God. So I can't change that, and nobody else can change it. If you live in your head, well, that's you. But I beseech you, by the mercies of God, let whosoever will come, if you will. But God knows who will and who won't, and you that are like that, you won't. You just won't. Now, let's pray for Cynthia tonight. She's been vomiting blood, and that's bad. Let's ask God tonight to touch her. She's in no condition right now to do that. She's been really nervous and upset and tore up. And the devil has tried hard to discourage and cause conflict and also tear up wrath in the home. So let's pray and ask God to have mercy tonight. And let's pray for Sister Lynn and for George Jr. I dreamed last night that he come back. And let's pray and ask God to restore their homes. And let's remember what Brother Frank Beretta said tonight. I see Brother Vince here. We're glad he's back tonight. And let's just pray that God will do something, folks. It's such a fearful thing. It's such a fearful thing. I wished I could tell you. I wished I could get it down into your heart how fearful. But I know that it's not in your heart. I know that it's not. Because I can feel your spirit, and I can tell the condition of your spirit, and I can tell that you're lighthearted. In spite of all that you tell yourself, I can still feel your spirit and see that there's no real fear there. But I tell you what, folks, if your eyes ever come open, it'll scare you half to death. It'll scare you half to death. If some of you ever do get your eyes open and see that you are almost in the flames of hell, it's going to scare you half to death. I mean, some of you that's confident that you're all right, too. So, whatever you do, wake up. Wake up for God's sake, wake up. Judgment is hanging over our head and just around the corner. Father, Lord of heaven, as we pray tonight for Raph and for Cindy, Lord. Dear God, let us not be fools, Lord. God, let us wake up. Father, let us remember that the wrath of God is headed our way. Oh, God, as a surety, it's headed our way. Father, to them that know to do good and won't do it, Lord, you said it's sin. And Lord, you said that the soul that sinned, you'd bring death upon it. And Lord, we know it's bad enough to die in the body. Father, but we do have a hope beyond the grave. But Lord, if we die in our soul, we never eternally have another hope. Dear God, as I feel the mighty Holy Ghost, the powers of the living God, Lord, heal my daughter tonight. Dear God, move the tension, Father. Oh, Holy Father, glory to God. Lord, heal tonight and make well. Dear God, heal this body. Heal this heart. Let the Spirit of the great and mighty God fill this body. Lord God, save Raph tonight, Lord. Unite this home together. Dear God, I ask you to do it in Jesus' name tonight. Oh, God, bless Lynn tonight, Lord. Bless George Jr. tonight. Lord, bless Frank and Dole tonight. And Lord, God, we pray all the many homes that's broken up tonight. Father, that's having trouble tonight around the world. God, bless them and help them tonight. Help Steve and Elaine tonight. Oh, God, move the devils and the powers of evil, God, that's oppressing and keeping the people, Lord, from the blessings of God. Help them to wake up, Lord, and see, Lord, that this thing is real and that hell is under their feet, God. The flames of hell is reaching up for them. Lord, unless they live right and unless they please thee, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Come back and be with us.